Welcome, welcome back to a new episode and a new season of the Inter Worldwide Podcast. Today is going to be a special episode. We are going to preview the Inter Genoa game, but more in general, we're going to preview the whole season, the Serie A, new team, new coach. And we have a special guest. Welcome back, David Amoya. How are you?
Doing great, guys. Wonderful to chat culture with you guys today.
Thank you so much. And we have Giulio Licenzio. How are you?
Hi, everyone. I'm fine. I'm fine. Thank you. But I have a question. Why we're talking in English?
That's a very good question. It's just to show off our beautiful accent. So I know that both our guests are very short on time, so let's go straight to the preview. So it will be easy to ask Giulio about Inter and David about Juve, so I'm gonna switch it out and I'm gonna ask David, what's your perception of Inter on the pitch and off the pitch after this crazy couple of months?
I have to say, probably compared to most, I'm not as a pessimistic on Inter. Obviously, you lost the best coach in Serie A in Conte, lost arguably the best player in the league last season in Lukaku, and on top of that, Hakimi. So I don't want to dismiss how tough these losses are, but it's not like the league as a whole has really improved. I think maybe short of Atalanta, and you know, if you look at Juve, the coaching position, obviously, short of those teams, it's hard to really make a case that anyone's clearly better. You could say Napoli with Spalletti, I guess, but I think Inter did as good a job as they could so far in replacing who's left. I know there's one more striker who's going to come in, and that could be a pretty good move. But if I look at Inter's lineup right now, last season they gave up the least amount of goals in Serie A. Usually in Serie A, the best defense wins. They are bringing back the whole unit. Now, granted, Handanovic was bad last season. He's 1 year older now. But Bastoni and Skriniar, Bastoni could be even better. He's a year older. Skriniar is more comfortable in the back three. So I think the defense is a huge plus for Inter. I've seen Juve not that long ago win Scudetti with an attack that I would say is comparable to what Inter has now, even just today with Zeko and Lautaro. And I think their midfield's really solid. I think Barella really became one of the best midfielders in Serie A. Brozovic works well. I think Çalhanoğlu, I thought it's a good move for Inter. So I have to say, despite all the big departures, I'm still pretty optimistic on Inter now. I definitely don't think they are the Scudetto favorites, but I see them in the mix for the Scudetto, and I really would be pretty shocked if they finished out of the top four.
So I'm going to come back on the Scudetto favorite, but I want to ask you another thing. Off the pitch, do you think the image of Inter is weakened than before because of all this saying like, oh, we're not going to sell Lukaku. Lukaku is our key player. And then they sell Lukaku and then they have depth. And I don't know. Do you think the image of Inter changed?
I would say on Lukaku specifically, probably not. I think the one who looks the worst out of this situation is Lukaku, to be honest, and I'm a big fan of his, but I do think some of his quotes from not that long ago kind of look really shallow now. And look, Inter, Lukaku did win a Scudetto at Inter. They are making a huge plusvalenza on him. So I think specifically on the Lukaku thing, I don't think Inter looks bad. Now, granted, the whole summer is not a great look because let's say, you know, there wasn't the financial crisis. Let's say Suning didn't have any difficulties after this Scudetto with the squad that Inter had. there were good reasons to think that they could really open a big cycle in Serie A. So to me, it maybe looked bad earlier in the year. I think by the time the Lukaku thing happened, people understood Inter's situation. But he's the one that looks worse for me here.
The ones that that look in the worst way in Inter situations are Inter fans.
Okay, you want to explain more?
No, because the Inter fans after the winning Serie A last year are used to a certain level, and they expect to maintain that level, and that the ambition to maintain that level is linked to Lukaku and Conte and Hakimi. With the three gone, you have a problem in the perception of this team. And so all the Inter team in the world look at Inter a little bit worse than the effective valor of this team.
I see. So as I said, what do you think of the main competitor and probably the most likely to win the Scudetto? What do you think of Juve, Giulio?
Juventus has the best roster in Serie A, but that was true also in the last year. The addition of Allegri instead of Pirlo is a major change, and is the main reason, because Juventus has come back from the last season and is the main candidate for winning Serie A. The problem is that Juventus hasn't solved his roster problems. Locatelli is a huge addiction because they need a midfielder that filled that gap, the deep line playmaker that they didn't have all the last year, also for the problems for Artur, but in general, after the departure of Pjanic, they didn't have a player in that position that could cover that role in a specific way. So Locatelli helps to make some changes, but then we have to make some other decisions, which defense they will start with three men or four men, who is the right fullback, who will play together with Locatelli in the midfield, and especially who will play in attack, because Cristiano Ronaldo is a regular starter, and we cannot say nothing about that. But then there is a problem about Dybala, because it's a situation that is there like an elephant, and we have to talk about that sooner or later. He needs to renew his contract. He had some problems with Allegri 2 years ago, and now we have to see what will happen.
David, please give me some hope. Do you see anything that is missing Juventus? Do you see something missing? There is a possibility for Inter still to fight.
Look, like I said, I'm more optimistic than a lot of people are with Inter. Now, I totally agree with Giulio. Like, Juve have to be the favorites. Look, last season they had a payroll 80 million higher than Inter, and they finished fourth, not even second. And I think that gap's even bigger now with Inter cutting payroll. So if you're looking for reasons why Juve wouldn't win, the Ronaldo situation could go south. He doesn't look particularly happy. I think especially with PSG swooping in for Messi so quickly when he's available, that has to be a blow to his ego. So we have to see what happens. Giulio made a really good point that the Dybala extension could be an issue at Juve. And Szczesny last season, who looked like after Donnarumma to be maybe the best keeper in Serie A, he had some Handanovic moments there. And they have De Ligt, but, you know, you need Bonucci and Chiellini to be able to play pretty frequently, because they got rid of Demiral as well. So their only other option is Rugani. And look, Locatelli is certainly a good addition. I would say he's their best midfielder right away arriving, but there are some question marks on the rest of the team. So I think, you know, Juve by default are the favorites, and I think they should be, but there also are some ways that you could see this go south. I think, like Giulio said, some people seem to have conveniently forgotten that Dybala and Allegri didn't particularly get along, and Sarri, when he arrived, his whole thing was like, I'll get Dybala going again. And he did. I mean, Dybala won MVP. So let's see what happens now.
Okay. So what do you guys think of the rest of the team? Who is going to be in the top four? Julio, what other team do you see?
Allora, apart for Inter and Juventus, the main candidates to get in the top four, for me, we have to pay respect to those teams which haven't changed their coach. So Atalanta and Milan has an advantage just because of that. Milan get a second place in the last year. They have the problem to replace Donnarumma and Çalhanoğlu, and the Çalhanoğlu problem is a little bit underestimated, in my opinion, because he is a great game creator, and in that, not having a player like him in that position is not so easy to replace. And Milan didn't get the big name in that position. But the presence of Pioli and to have a precise style of play is very important. And the same for Atalanta. Atalanta has changed some players. They sell Romero in particular, but they are nowadays a team with Gasperini that go with automatic pilot. Then we have to see what will happen with Napoli, Lazio and Roma, because they changed their coaches, and in particular that's important for Napoli because Napoli has one of the best roster in Serie A. They have a qualitative roster with many options, especially from midfielder and in midfield and in attack. And they, we have to see what Spalletti will get. And if Spalletti trains in Serie A, it's very difficult to get him out from the top four position. So Napoli is a big candidate. Then Roma and Lazio, we have to see the impact of Mourinho and Sarri. That is not so easy to understand what will happen, because we have to see what kind of alchemy will get with their team. I'm not so positive about Roma because the roster had some problems, especially in the defensive side, and so I have some doubts about that.
So in the what about you, David?
Bye-bye. Yeah, I definitely agree that the continuity of the coaching position helps Atalanta 100%. I think Atalanta, we have to see how much of a drop off Romero from Demiral is, but they upgraded a keeper. Musso to me is an upgrade on what they had before. They have more depth on the wings. They still kind of lack that backup central midfielder, but it looks like Zapata's staying and it looks like Ilicic is staying. So to me, Atalanta, again, with the caveat, we have to see Demiral for Romero, but we can make a case that Atalanta's better. In my mind, Milan, I totally agree with Julia. I think the Çalhanoğlu departure is underrated. To be fair to Milan fans, most Milan fans didn't really rate Çalhanoğlu when he was there. So it's not like it's sour grapes that now he's at Inter and all of a sudden they're like, he sucked anyway. But look, I think there's a reason every manager at Milan played Çalhanoğlu. He had three managers, all three of them played him. So I think that is a loss. And look, right now they replaced him with expecting more from Brahim Diaz. And to me, he looks like a pretty different type of player. So I have quite a few question marks on Milan, to be honest. I think Donnarumma, obviously, huge loss. Let's see a full season of Tomori, how much that helps. And then don't forget that Kessié and Bennacer are going to be in the Africa Cup too, in January. The fourth team that I have, other than Juve, Inter, and Atalanta, is Napoli. I thought last season Napoli had maybe the third, you could maybe say the second best squad in Serie A. I thought they underachieved. They didn't have Osimhen most of the season. I thought Osimhen was really, really good when he played. We know under Spalletti, strikers have great seasons. He also will be on the Africa Cup, but I'm pretty bullish on Napoli. So I would say them, Yeah, Giulio, I think, converted me pointing out how bad Roma's defense was. I have high hopes for Kumbula, but let's see if Mourinho wants to play a young defender. Smalling is already hurt, so let's see there. But I do think Roma's an intriguing team there. I think Lazio, a little bit of a mess. They are making some last-minute moves now. But they just didn't have the money to change system to Sarri. And I think that's kind of Inter made the right choice. They were like, okay, we don't have the money to change coaches. Let's bring in a coach who's similar. And Lazio replaced Inzaghi with someone who's really radically different. So, yeah, I would say Juve. I don't know if Inter's a lock for second, but they're there. I see Napoli, Atalanta in the top four, and then after that, Milan, Roma, and Lazio kind of in that order.
And do you see any team that could be a surprise for this season, like it was Verona in the past or even Spezia?
I'm going to say Fiorentina, and I'm going to be bold, and obviously if Vlahovic stays, it's much, much easier to make the case for them, but look, they kept the Milenkovic, they're bringing in Nastasic, they got rid of Pizzella, they have Quarta, who I thought was a very underrated defender. I like their back line. Dragowski's a good keeper in Serie A, and they finally have a good coach, which they haven't had under Comiso. So I'm going to say I'm pretty bullish on Fiorentina. Anyone who knows me is probably surprised. I'm not their biggest fan, but I got to admit, I like what they do. Obviously, I'd love for them to hold on to Vlahovic.
No, Fiorentina is a good call, because especially for the work the Italiano showed in Spezia over the year, it's a great call. Also because all the other teams have some problems for a reason or the other. So it's harder to get another name. Apart the fact that Cagliari must rebound from the terrible last year, I think that they have the potential to get something more. I'm not so positive about Torino that we can make We can say the same thing, but Torino has some structural problems. They are a sad team, and it's terribly evident when they play, and they keep going like that. So also, for example, Bologna is another team that you can see as that if some youngster gets to another level, can get some better result. But yesterday in Coppa Italia, they get 5 goals from a Serie B side like Ternana, so it's not so easy to get another name apart for Fiorentina.
You're not going to say Genoa, Giulio, your team? I have to say I kind of like some of the things they've done this summer.
Yes, but how much? If what you mean for surprise? Because if you mean that this year they want to be involved in the relegation battle, yes, maybe. But apart from that, I don't think that they gave so much better, ecco. Because Ballardi, and then we have to see if Preziosi has his typical way of behave with Ballardini and so on.
So I'm aware of time, and I have so many questions for you guys. So instead of focusing on relegations, I would like to focus on the players for this season. David, do you see any player? It could be new to Serie A or just used to Serie A. Somebody to keep an eye on if you think of fantasy soccer or something like that. Somebody that you would say that's a player of the season, you know.
I'm very bullish on Chiesa this season. I think, you know, I have some reservations on Dybala with Allegri. Dybala coming off this weird season. Look, he had health issues, so that must be said. So I'm pretty bullish on Chiesa. I think Zaniolo has shown this summer that, you know, he might be back to being the player that we, you know, that we know him for. He didn't play at all last season, so I think he's like a great new addition in Serie A, so very curious to see what he does there. So I know those aren't the most peculiar answers, but I would say look for out for them for sure.
But if you are interested in fantacalcio, as we say in Italy, in Udinese, Pereira must do everything now that De Paoli is gone. So he must be the focus of all the team, so he will get some numbers because they have no alternatives. Apart from that, I'm curious. In Inter, Lautaro Martinez is called to make another step and get even better numbers in the last year. Atalanta has always been numbers with these players. Vlahovic, as we say before, as the center of the attack of Fiorentina, we get huge numbers. And another player that we see today that has come to Lazio is Pedro, because Pedro is a special request for Sarri, and we can become something similar to what we see Callejon in Napoli. So it's an interesting addiction for Lazio.
Yeah, that's a good shout for sure.
And then I'm forced to say Simi for Salernitana, because he came from 20 goals in Crotone, and he get in a similar situation because Salernitana has some problems, but he could make his goals.
Any of the new additions to Serie A, anybody that surprised you or you think is going to be a good addition?
I want to see Nico Gonzalez at Fiorentina. Heard quite a bit about him. He's supposedly very intriguing. So I'm going to say him. We have a Dumfries at Inter. You know, I hope there isn't too much comparison to Hakimi, because I feel like Hakimi is really pretty unique. But, you know, there's a world in which Dumfries is one of the best right wing backs in Serie A this season.
Talking about the new team in Serie A, also in Empoli, in the last year in Serie B, Mancuso make a great season, and someone must score also in that team. So I think that it could be a surprise name for Serie A in general.
So I know that Gio needs to leave in a couple of minutes, so I'm going to ask you first a prediction for the first match day. I have three games picked for you. Let's start with the very first game, which is Inter-Genoa. And I know you're going to be a San Siro.
Inter-Genoa, I expect...
That's your derby.
Sì, esatto. I expect Inter to win, obviously. But I expect a not so easy match to in the definition. So I expect something like 3-2, 4-2, something like with many goals. Ecco.
Okay. I'm gonna keep going with Giulio because you need to leave, and then I'm gonna do the same with you, David. Second match is Udinese Juventus.
Udinese this year has to face some problems because they sell Musso and De Paolo, so I don't know how they will approach Serie A this season, but they are not doomed. I expect a difficult game for Juventus, so something like a victory, but not with so many goals, something like 0-1.
Okay, and last match is Roma-Fiorentina.
Roma-Fiorentina, it's a great match. Let's go with the show. Something like 3-3, a spectacular game like that, with Vlahovic, making getting some difficulties to Roma defense, but they finding some goals. A spectacular match.
All right, thank you so much, Giulio, and San Siro for all of us.
Thank you so much.
Talk to you soon.
I'll send
Ciao,
you some
Giulio.
Photos.
Thank you.
Ciao, David. Le mando anche a te, non ti preoccupare.
Un abbraccio, amico. Ciao.
Ciao a tutti. Ciao.
All right, David. Now back to you. Let's do the same thing. What do you think? What's your prediction for the Inter-Genoa game?
I'm going to go Inter win. I don't expect as many goals as Giulio. I'm going to go with the Italian Heat's going to stifle things. I'm going to have Inter winning 1-0 with a goal by Lautaro. So I'll say he opens his account as the new main striker and Inter win 1-0.
That would be fantastic. What about Udinese Juventus?
Yeah, I'm with Giulio Udinese. They replaced Musso. I thought fairly well. Silvestri was also one of the better keepers in Serie A last season, but they also don't have De Paul. I think Juve is a little bit more ready to go. So I'm going to have Juve winning 2-0. I'll give a goal to Ronaldo and one to Kulusevski, who I hope has a good season. He's one of my favorite players.
Mm-hmm. And last, Roma Fiorentina.
I'm gonna go with a boring 0-0. I'm gonna go completely opposite direction as as Giulia. And look, I know Italiano has that fun offensive style, but I think Mourinho, especially at first, is gonna be extremely pragmatic. So I'm gonna go 0-0 for that one.
Okay. And since we're lucky to have you as a guest, let's talk a little bit more about the transfer market. How, what do you think of this session? What do you expect, or is a little bit different?
Well, look, it almost feels like the Mercato incoming moves in Serie A kind of started like last week. Like, we did have a few before, but it felt that almost all the news was players leaving. And now this week, all of a sudden, we have a bunch of deals happening. So, look, it's going to be very intense until the end of the Mercato. We know Inter want another striker. Seems a lot of people are really intrigued by Thuram's son from the Bundesliga. Let's see if he comes in or if it's going to be Correa. It doesn't look like it'll be Zapata. Hey, it might, there might be some late buzz on Insigne. So, hopefully there's not going to be too much news on potentially players leaving. You know, we've heard that maybe Vlahovic, maybe Manolas could leave. I think Serie A has lost enough talent that maybe these last 10, 11 days we can have some incoming moves. I think Juve, you know, might bring in back Pjanic. Look, I don't think he really makes much of a difference if he's not taking free kicks at this point. But I think Locatelli and Allegri were really their two big additions. Milan, I think, is going to be pretty busy. You know, Milan has to also figure out Cassi, Romagnoli. These guys have expiring contracts, you know. They can't keep losing these players for free. So it's going to be pretty busy. So it should be an exciting final stretch of the Mercato.
Yeah, and also you were mentioning earlier that Milan is going to lose their two best midfielder in the African Cup. So I expect some movement in there for their midfield. Yep. Okay, anything else you think we're going to see, like any name or any team that you think is going to be more active in the last couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think Milan and Lazio are the two that stick out at me. Lazio, they have had some financial issues. Now they are able to announce their signings. I think they'll be somewhat busy. I think Lazio will obviously be busier if Correa sold. Like, look, you know, we've seen in Serie A this summer, because there's no money, you kind of need a domino effect. So we saw when Romero went to Spurs, then Demiral could go to Atalanta. We saw that Lukaku went to Chelsea, so that opened up Zeko to go to Inter, and then Tammy Abraham to Roma. So I think, unfortunately, this summer we are waiting on big sales. So look, if Manolas leaves, you know, Napoli is going to have to bring in another center back. If Vlahovic leaves, obviously Fiorentina is going to have to do some work, and they might buy a player in Serie A, and then that club might have money. So we need these big dominoes. But again, I'm almost okay if there's not these big dominoes, because I just don't want to see big stars leaving. But look, There's always at the end of the mercato some pretty wild stuff. I would really look at the players with expiring contracts. So I would look at Kessié, Insigne, Dybala, Romagnoli. Let's see what happens with these players. Because I think also clubs don't want to lose players for nothing. So let's see what happens with the extensions or if they decide to move them rather than lose them for nothing.
Yeah, at Inter we had Lautaro and Brozovic. Very last question. Let's say that Vlahovic stays in Serie A. Who do you think is going to be the capocannoniere this year?
Good question. You know, it would be easy to say Ronaldo, and I still think he's probably the best answer. Immobile would usually be a good shout, but now he's going to a system that is pretty similar to the way Italy played at the Euro, and he wasn't great there. So I'm going to go out of left field, and I'm going to pick Muriel, who had 22 goals off the bench. And look, I think Zapata's going to stay at Atalanta, but I'm going to be bold, and I'm going to go with Muriel as the capocannoniere. I definitely see him going over 20, so if it's not Ronaldo, that would be my pick.
That's a very good pick, and I'm honestly, I was surprised that Muriel was not mentioned as a possible striker for Inter.
I agree.
There was some rumor last year, and then nothing. So, anyway, thank you so much, David, and I hope you're gonna have a wonderful season, and I hope to have you back soon as a guest.
Real pleasure. Thanks so much, Alessandro, for what you do. Real pleasure working with you on the Marzio site and chatting culture with you. So thank you so much and all the best to the listeners.
Thank you.